Good evening, everyone. Broadcasting live, April 3rd, 2016. Today's quote, again from the Anguttara Nikaya. And again, he's not doing a very good job of translating, in my opinion. I don't know where he would get attention from. So we have to really ignore this quote, because the English, because he's done a poor job translating. There's no way around it. So the dhammas here are the four dhammas that lead to, and not progress, they lead to benefit, hita. The word is hita, which just means welfare or benefit. And it's not even worldly progress. So he's not even translating, he's very much paraphrasing. Chattaro me bhyagapajja. He's talking to someone named Bhyagapajja. I don't know, this is the backstory. Anyway, not important. Chattarome dhamma, there are these four dhammas, kulaputasa ditta dhamma hitaya sangvatanti. So ditta dhamma, again we have this phrase, ditta means seen, dhamma is reality. So in the reality that is seen, in other words right now, without delay, without, not in the next life. Ditta dhamma often means referring to this life. So ditta dhamma hitaya means benefit in this life. So it's not exactly worldly, but the point is, these are the things that lead to benefit in this life. Because it doesn't take practice of the Buddha's teaching to succeed in this life, right? You can actually be a terrible, terrible person and still succeed to some extent in this life. Your life may be shorter than others, or it'll eventually turn around, but even evil people. So for that reason, benefit in this life, that only touches this life, it's not so much related to the Dhamma, and hence the use of the word worldly. But that's not exactly what it means. These are important, but they're important in a broad sense. The four actually can be applied, well, generally, with some. I mean, they can be applied to a monk, they can be applied to meditators. It's not. It's mostly actually directed to lay people, but and people living in the world. But nonetheless, they're good to keep in mind. And these are actually one of the core teachings in cultural Buddhism. Like in Thailand, it's a big one. These four are something that they used to learn in schools, and the novices learn in school. It's one of the first things we learned. Thammi prayot nai lok ni, dhammas that have benefit in this life. Prayot lok ni, prayot lok na. So they pair with another set of dhammas, which are those that have samparayika hita, samparayika hita, something like that, which is the dhammas that have benefit in the next life. It's another set of four dhammas, so we'll talk about those as well. In fact, we even have a third set, so we can round it off and talk about all the dhammas that have benefit. Lumpo Chodok, this monk in Bangkok, he used to talk about these a lot. Prayot lok ni, prayot lok na, prayot sung sut. The third one is sung sut, means the very highest benefit. Prayot kunipan, that which leads you to nibbana, nirvana. But these first four, utana sampada, means effort. You have to be You have to be endowed with effort. Ditta dhamma hitaya, ditta dhamma sukhaya. If you want benefit, if you're looking for your welfare and happiness in the here and now, you need effort, you need to work. And so he gives he explains what that means. It means you have to make your living, you have to be skillful and diligent, possessing judgment about it in order to carry it out and arrange it properly. Initiative, Bhikkhu Bodhi translates as initiative. I'm not still not convinced, but it means gumption, taking up the task. In all things, this is the case. The question is, are you making effort in your work? So this applies for meditators as well. If you want the meditation to be successful, you have to work at it. To some extent, we can apply this. Right, and this is actually related to, as I said, it was being taught to Diga Janu, who goes by the clan name Byagabhadja. Anyway, he says, we use sandalwood from Kasi, we wear garlands, scents, and unguents, we receive gold and silver, meaning we're not monks. We're not even spiritually religious people. We live in the world, we work, and we play, and we laugh, and we sing, and we eat, and we drink, and make merry. But what can we do? He says, teach us the Dhamma in a way that will lead to our welfare and happiness in this present life and in future lives. Ditta Dhamma Sukhaya, Ditta Dhamma Hitaya. And then the other one, so in future lives, Samparaya Hitaya, Samparaya Sukhaya. It's the other one. So for the next life. So the Buddha separates them because they're two different things. As I said, in this life it's more related to sort of functional things. So the first one is you have to work. You have to have the initiative. You can't just sit around and wait for happiness and welfare to come to you. If you want to succeed in life, you have to work. Number two, arakha sampada. You have to guard or protect or save up, right? You have to guard your wealth, that which you have amassed. You have to think to yourself, how can I prevent kings and thieves from taking it, fire from burning it, floods from sweeping it off, and displeasing heirs from taking it? Yeah, heirs can be displeasing. Heirs as in people who inherit things. Maybe they come looking for their inheritance early or something. So what can I do to sustain my life? Again, a worldly thing, but I mean, it works for all of us. I have to concern myself about my robes and my belongings. But in regards to meditation, this is important as well. Not only do we have to work hard in meditation, but we have to be careful. Ajahn Tong talks about this simile, I think, from the Visuddhimagga, of someone rocking a cradle. When you're rocking, in the olden days they would have the baby in a hammock, maybe, I don't know, or in a cradle, I guess, and they'd have it on a string, so they could sit far away and they just pull on the string to keep the rocker going, and that would keep the baby asleep. But you had to be careful, you know, if you didn't keep your eye on it, the baby would wake up. And so the idea is that meditation is like something very delicate that you have to keep your mind on. If you're not paying attention, the baby will wake up. You'll lose your you lose your mindfulness. It's very easy to get off track. You see, in meditation again and again, we'll get off track, and you have to bring yourself back again and again, guarding. So it's analogous to this. You know, it works on that level as well. But in terms of anything, you could put this on any level. You need to anything you do, you need to have effort, and you have to be careful, guard what you have gained through your effort, so we don't squander. Sometimes people come to meditate here and then they go out in the world and think they're invincible, because it's easier to be invincible here. There's not so much bothering you. When you go out there, you realize, oh, maybe I didn't quite get as much out of the meditation as I thought. Maybe you got this much and you thought you got this much, and of course your expectations are not met because you're not mindful. Sometimes we go out and it's a shock, a wake-up call, and you realize you have to guard yourself. Part of it is negligence. But that's the thing, is you can't be negligent. If you want to succeed in anything, meditation, spiritual or worldly, you have to be careful. Number three is you need good friends. Kalyana mitata. And this, of course, goes with everything. In Thailand, in meditation, this was a problem. Too many people in the monastery, and it's easy to get caught up with the wrong people. Easy to sit down and chat and to get sidetracked. And we sidetracked each other as well. Luckily here in Hamilton we have very small centers, so our meditators come and they're not bothered by others. But by good friendship it means people who are practicing, who appreciate practice, who teach practice, who accommodate you in your practice. People who care about you, care about your spiritual practice, so can offer you advice and who can give you the space you need and that kind of thing. People who can guide you and be an example for you. That's a good friend. The Buddha is our good friend, really. That's why we think about the Buddha a lot, because he's someone who, when you think about him, it gives you a good example. It gives you something to relate your practice to, someone who has gone the distance. Number four is sammajivita, right? Sammajivita. Sammajivita. Should be sammajivita. Sammajivita means living according to your means. So this is a fairly worldly one. Right, so with friendship, of course, that's obviously important in the world as well. If you don't have good friends, you won't succeed. It's having to deal with the stress of enemies and having to deal with their problems, having to deal with people who lead you in the wrong direction. It applies in all aspects. But sammajivita is mostly related to the world. You know, it's explicitly... This means living within your means. So if you want to succeed in the world, you have to not only acquire and protect your wealth, but you have to not squander it yourself. You have to budget, and you have to be content with what you have and that kind of thing. Because if you live outside your means, this is where people go into debt. I mean, it might seem like a trite sort of statement, but... It's amazing how many people live outside their means, aren't able to stop themselves from borrowing money and getting into serious debt and that kind of thing. You have to be careful. But you know, the simple word we can apply to meditation as well. Because I want to really apply this to meditation. We want to be talking about what is of most benefit. We don't have all that much time to focus too much on worldly things, even though they're helpful. And also I've got a meditator here listening, so I have to help him, give him something to think about. But samajivita means the way you're living to be balanced, not too much excess, but not too little. So the excess and the lack, both if not enough, too much, both are problematic. If you don't practice enough, if you practice too much, if you practice without taking a break, it can also be to your detriment. But mostly living throughout the day balanced, with a balanced mind, balancing your faculties, confidence, effort, mindfulness, concentration, and wisdom, balancing them. And not practicing too hard, not practicing too little. We know the work we have to do, and so we do it consistently and systematically. That's what's important. Anyway, those are the benefits in this world, mostly worldly things. The ones that lead to benefit in the next life, I think he then goes on. Right, there are four other things that lead to happiness and welfare in future lives. So these are a little bit more spiritual, but this is more leading to heaven. Let's see if I can get the Pali. Here we are. Saddha sampada, sila sampada, jaga sampada, panya sampada. So the four, these are the samparaya hita. Samparaya hitaya, samparaya sukhaya. Need to benefit in the next life. So these are more spiritual. And these are, you could say, sort of the positive mundane results. Heaven being still mundane, but these are the sort of things that lead you to heaven. So they're the positive mundane results of spiritual practice, like meditation. But these four are not all that mundane at all, but they're sort of relating to going to heaven. Because again, he's telling this to a layman who's not probably meditating, but probably should. But anyway, the Buddha gives him these four. Saddha means confidence, or you could say faith. Saddha, sampada means you have right faith, faith in the right thing, faith in the Buddha, the Dhamma, Sangha, faith in spiritual teaching, faith in good people, faith in good things. Confidence in yourself, confidence in good things about yourself. Confidence in your ability to cultivate goodness. Number two, sila sampada, morality, endowed with morality. The five precepts. Guarding your senses, considering the use of your requisites so that the things you use, you don't use them for the wrong purposes. And right livelihood. And number three, jaga sampada, endowed with generosity, or jaga is maybe renunciation or abandoning, giving up, I guess. We usually translate it as generosity. In a mundane sense, that's what it means. It means giving gifts and supporting others and being charitable. But on a deeper level, it means giving up. When you give up your desire, giving up your desire is actually a great gift, because the less desire you have, the more you're able to give and give up and help. Support others and do for others. But if you're always obsessed with your own benefit, very little time to give to others. Number four, panya sampada, wisdom. One should be endowed with wisdom. This is a great benefit. It's also a benefit for this life, but sometimes wise people still may not do that well in this life. nonetheless, they do well in their minds. So wisdom is the greatest, the most powerful weapon we have, or tool we have for benefit, for welfare, for happiness. Because with wisdom, you know right from wrong. Wisdom, you're able to rise above your problems when things go wrong. You're able to see them as they are. And it's not really about, even about rising above them. It's seeing through the cloud of ignorance that leads us to see things as problems. Because there's no such thing. Problem is just a name that we give to, a label that we give to something. The truth is there's experience. Wisdom helps us to see that. As a result, we don't get attached to things because we, out of wisdom, we see that that's a problem. It doesn't lead to happiness. We don't get angry about things because we see that that leads to problem. And we give up delusion. Wisdom is the opposite of delusion. Wisdom is like the bright light. When you shine the bright light in, the darkness goes away. So the Buddha said, Vinaya lokeya bijja domanasang. Giving up in this world greed and anger, desire and aversion. And Ajahn Tong, he said, why doesn't he ask? I think the commenter actually says, why doesn't, but I remember a talk Ajahn Tong said, why doesn't the Buddha mention delusion? It's because mindfulness, this is from the Satipatthana Sutta, mindfulness is like a bright light. When you shine it in, the darkness disappears. So you don't even have to mention delusion. When you're being mindful, you're working to give up greed and anger because you've removed the delusion during that time. There's wisdom. Wisdom can arise about the greed and the anger. And so those four are that which leads to benefit in future lives. And the third group that I said, the one which leads to Nibbana, is the four Satipatthana, I think. Pretty sure that's what Lungpo Chodok used to say. What are the four that lead to Nibbana? Well, it doesn't say in this sutta. This only gives the two sets. But the third set you have to talk about, if you're looking for that which is the ultimate benefit, it's the four Satipatthana, because the Buddha said, Eka yano ayam bhikkhave maggo. This is the one way, the direct way, that leads to Nibbana. And that's the four Satipatthana. Anyway, so another little bit of Dhamma tonight. I still have more work to do tonight. We're at crunch time. Tomorrow I don't know if I'll be able to broadcast. We have the symposium on Tuesday. So, and people have been emailing us, students, leave everything to the last moment. I should have known. So they're all emailing us all day, apologizing for waiting to the last minute and hoping they can join the symposium. Anyway, so that's all for tonight. Have a good night, everyone.